What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the True Shot Guest Spot Podcast. My guest today is the new, well, I guess I should say the frontman of 1056, a new project that is made up of many members from different bands throughout the French scene, including Aaron Matz, who used to be in Betraying the Martyrs and is now full-time with 1056. And then there's also other members from Uneven Structures, Kadinja, Novelists, and other bands as well. So in this interview here with Aaron, man, I mean, this was a really cool conversation, and there were some pretty tough questions asked, but I think that, you know, we really got to know Aaron more and more through this interview. And man, if this doesn't get you hyped for new 1056 material, learning more about Aaron and just his path with 1056, I don't know what will. But anyways, let's get on with the episode. This is Aaron Matz of 1056. Turn me up. Aaron Matz, what's up? What's going on, man?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm stoked to have you on, you know, because it's really cool when I can do these podcasts and it's been with bands or people that are in bands that my band has previously played with. Although now, man, that's going on 2 years ago, which is absolutely absurd to think about.
Where was that even?
So Manchester, New Hampshire, the Bungalow.
Jesus.
It's a little hole in the wall place. It was a very small, tiny little bar. You may remember the bartender,
Yes.
I figured that would be if you couldn't remember the venue, because it's a small little venue in the middle of nowhere here in the States. But I was like, that would be my go-to to have you have it click in your memory, you know.
But the homie Tim from Kingsmen did like sound for that show, did he not?
He might have. Now that you know what, I honestly can't even remember. But I
was it with the Browning?
It was with the Browning, an extortionist, yeah.
Fuck, man. Yep. Yeah, I've got a really good friend who comes from the area. His name's Kevin. Everyone calls him Big Kev. He's like a really big guy.
Oh, really?
Bold, ginger beard, whatever. I was probably just hanging out with him because he's like my guy who I'll see when I'm over there, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Nah, man. But yeah, that was like my band we formed in 2018, and that was like our first like big show. So that'll always be something that I remember very fondly.
That was awesome. Yeah, it was a good show, man. I think it was all packed out. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see the Browning, you know, in like a small room like that with how, you know, their production value and whatnot. It was insane.
But, yeah. Really fun show, man.
Yeah, but a lot has happened since then, Aaron. Is that fair to say?
I guess you could say that, yeah.
So, for those of you that are probably aware, you know, Aaron used to be in Betraying the Martyrs. You know, you see all the metal articles out there now. Aaron Matz, ex-Betraying the Martyrs, starts new project. You know, that kind of stuff.
So all that, yeah.
But, yeah, man, so I've been talking to Nico, obviously from Out of Line and from Novelist as well.
Yeah.
He mentioned, he's like, yeah, I'm part of this new project. It's with you. And I was like, oh man, I'm looking forward to checking it out. Obviously, cause I know you from Betraying the Martyrs and you were with that band for many, many years. So
10 years.
Yeah, for 10 years, which is pretty insane to think about. And we'll definitely get into your journey as well, because I think that you have a pretty interesting kind of story with that. But so you start 1056 alongside some other really talented French musicians from Kadinja. Is it Kadinja or Kadinja? Which one is it?
I can't even tell you that, man. Well, it's not a French word, that's for sure. And well, I can tell you that the guys from the band, they say Kadinja.
Kadinja, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Is it even a fucking word, man?
I don't know. But
I mean, if it was a word, I would have to agree with you and kind of do the Spanish like J on that. I don't know. But yeah, It's called Kadinja. Let's just say that.
Let's do Kadinja. Yeah. So you've got.
I've seen mad people like fucking doing their reactions and that. Yeah, there's got guys from Kadinja. It's so funny.
Yeah, man. Well, I gotta say, so Nico sent it over to me, and we record on Monday, so we were gonna be recording it that following Monday. And you know, I was going into it and I was like, all right, this is I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what to expect. And then I saw, you know, it was like a 2:30 track, and I was like, okay, here we go. Because that's right up my alley, man, in terms of time. Yeah. I got the Amur hoodie on, so you know that. Yeah, those are the time lengths that I like. And man, I gotta be straight up with you. Like, I haven't been that floored by like a new project, a new track since, and you mentioned this band in another interview that I watched. You say, you know, I try to do a little bit of homework. Dealer, you know, I heard Dealer for the first time, no longer a thing anymore, but
is that official? But
yeah,
one can only imagine.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's pretty official with we can talk about that another time, but yeah, so anyway,
yeah, whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, though, when I heard Diazepam, I was like, man, like this track I felt like was written for me. Like, like this is right up my alley sonically. The drops are crazy. So I kind of wanted to ask you, man, because we just touched on that you were in Betraying the Martyrs for, you know, a decade plus, and this is a very different sonic sound. And I heard in another interview that you were in that this is kind of the sound that you really enjoy. I guess what, I don't want to say what took so long to branch out and do this, but I guess something along that line, because 10 years is a long time. And this is a very different sound.
That's a multi-layered question, as some people would say. First of all, like that like heavy, straight to the point, like ridiculous heavy sound has always been what I've liked, you know, even before entering Betraying the Martyrs.
Yeah,
but obviously at that time it was like different, you know. It was like you know, like the Whitechapel's first record, or like when the Complete Guide to Needlework dropped.
Yeah,
I was fucking 16, 17, but even then I was just like, this is my fucking shit, you know, like,
right.
And I've always been into that. And when the offer to join Betraying the Martyrs came up, I can say this now because you know, it's after the fact, but that was a thought that came into my mind, like, all right, like this isn't 100% the sound that I'm into, you know what I mean? But you know, I still really liked it, and it was still great, and you know, like had great times with the band. But like, it's a secret to no one, like in the band or in my entourage or anyone that knows me. Like, I really just like it straight to the point. Not a huge, like, I wouldn't listen to metal with singing in it, or you know what I mean. Like,
I got you.
But yeah, but of course it takes so many to do a band like Betraying the Martyrs. It takes so many different influences to make what that sound was, and the fact that I liked that really heavy sound that played a part in the heavy parts in Betraying the Martyrs music. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, yeah, that was just my piece of the pie, as it were. And why did it take so long? I don't know. But coming back to the Dealer thing,
yeah,
like, you can listen to our music and you've only heard the one song, but you'll hear the rest. And it's like, it's not inspired by any other band directly. But when Dealer came out, that was like the first record that I'd gotten so excited about in a long time.
Yeah.
It had been ages since I got that stoked. You know what I mean?
Right.
When that came out, I was just like, oh, like my fucking bathroom, like throwing up kicks and shit, you know what I mean. I was like, I don't want to like make the relation between the two bands, because I don't want people to think that it's more than it is, because it's absolutely not. But that was one of the things that made me think twice. I was like, man, like I'm so excited about this, And like, I hadn't got that excited about, you know, the music that we were writing with Betraying the Martyrs. We went into the studio and, you know, they, Betraying the Martyrs write sick music. And like, you know, they've got a big following. It's great. But I just didn't get as excited about that. And I knew like, all right, it's been 10 years. I'm 30 years old now. Like, if I want to leave my footprint on the music industry, I want it to be like what I, you know, what I wanted it to be. I don't want this footprint to be like a, I just wanted it to be something that is 100% me, and I wanted people to remember me by that. So I just thought, fuck it, let's go.
Yeah. So it sounds like really, you know, you're in Betraying the Martyrs, and then, you know, the Dealer stuff comes out, and that kind of lit the flame of like, man, this is this realm, not necessarily that exactly, but this realm of music is like, that's who I am. That's what I want my name to represent in a project. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I guess you can. I mean, even like outside of Dealers, you know, it's like other bands like that. You know, I've been an Amur fan for since the band's existence, you know.
Right.
Love that band. Favorite top three, Humanity's Last Breath. Love that band.
Okay.
Rocked out Oceano big time, like when I was younger.
Oh, wow.
You know, like that Depth album, and even like they had this EP with the Thomas the Tank Engine sample on it. That was, I don't know, that was ages ago. Sworn In Death Card dropped.
Of course.
Huge explosion for me. Like, bah. There's other bands, Monsters. There's a band called Monsters from Chicago as well. Rooks. Just that, it's a kind of universe. It's kind of hard to explain. I mean, like, I think, like you said in your reaction video, it's so easy to just be like, oh, yeah, like, Emile, like, you know, like, short song, super heavy. It's like, it'll always get put under that umbrella term.
Yeah.
But that kind of universe, which is doesn't really have like a spoken word for it, you know what I mean? But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. It's really cool hearing you talk about this, because that is really like the sphere of music that I love. I mean, that is like, yeah, you mentioned it, Sworn In, you know, like Alpha Wolf now, or Left to Suffer is a new band that's kind of, you know.
I've heard them too, yeah. I've listened to Alpha Wolf, a few of their videos that come out, and every time I've been like, wow, this is fucking sick.
Yeah.
Left to Suffer, they do a song called Loathe.
Yes.
Loathe, is it?
Yeah, that thing. Yeah,
exactly. One of my mates, so one of the guys from Betraying the Martyrs, Steve, he showed me that. He was like, dude, this is your shit. Check this out. And it's absolutely awesome.
Yeah. So I mean, listen, and I'll be straight up. And I always say these, like, whenever I'm interviewing, or, you know, I like to call this, you know, having a chat, if you will, kind of like the Joe Rogan style is what I shoot for. But whenever I'm talking to people that are from these different bands, like I just had JT from Era on the other day, and I've never been like a massive Era fan. You know what I mean? So Betraying the Martyrs, you know, was a band that like I knew about, and I think my first introduction to Betraying the Martyrs was The Great Disillusion. I think a friend of mine showed me the music video on like Music Choice or something like that. It was way back. So that was my first introduction to Betraying the Martyrs. I'm like, yeah, this is good. I like this. But 1056 was, I was just like, whoa. Like,
man, I appreciate that so much, man.
Yeah, and I saw that you watched the reaction video. So what has that been like, the reaction to the song right out of the gate?
It's been awesome, man. Like, I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure that like with my old band, there was those kind of, you know, reaction videos and all that, you know, that kind of like shock value and stuff. I don't know if that's like a new thing, but I haven't seen that before. It's just been really good to like watch people react to the song, you know, because that was the first song we wrote as well as a band ever.
Yeah.
That was like the first thing that came out. Like he took us one day, that just came out, and then, you know, obviously fiddled around with it, but yes, it's been like a year, and I've listened to that shit at least like three times a day. So like before it comes out, I'm like, I don't even know if this is good or not, you know? I like hitting up my mates, hey, can you listen to this? Like, can you tell me if it's shit? Because I have no idea. I've listened to it so many times.
You're right.
And it was good. Yeah, it was so awesome to see that like shock value of like the sound that we were going for, like really kind of hit home and people are enjoying it.
Yeah, because I wrote down some numbers, and I'm sure that you're monitoring all these numbers very closely. But I mean, this isn't bad for a because we actually released the song on the same day that you guys released Diazepam. So that was cool. Yeah. So at the time of this recording, YouTube 53,771 views, Spotify 54,806 streams, and 21,879 monthly listeners. One track, Aaron. One track.
Is that good though? Is that good?
I mean, I think so.
Well, I think so too. You know, I don't know if that's good or not, you know what I mean? Because fine. I mean, that's super awesome to hear that you find that good, you know. I don't really know how to feel about it. Because when we come out of Betraying the Martyrs, and you know, it's like it's a well-known band, and it's not.
Yeah.
It wasn't unheard of for us to do like 50,000 views in a day, or you know, that kind of stuff. So it's really hard to take a step back from something when all you've ever known is like, you know, for the past 10 years or whenever since we signed with Sumerian, we kind of had that jump. But it's so hard to like to see the two for what they really are. But I'm super stoked. I was posting shit yesterday. I was like, all right. 50,000 views. Like, I was gonna post it on the Facebook. I was like, shall I post it? Like, is that good or is that bad? I don't even know. So I'm looking at other bands because, to be quite honest, like, I don't really tend to follow what's going on like a lot of the time. You know, I've been quite busy with the project and you know, I've got an adult life. So I'm like, whatever. So I'm like, shit. Check all the other bands that I feel are in the same, you know, this same umbrella that we were talking about earlier.
Right.
Looking at their views, like, oh, is this good? Is it bad? And then it's like, fuck it. You know, if some people are listening, doesn't really matter. But yeah, I'm super happy about the reaction. And thanks to everyone for listening. I really can't wait to put out the second song, man. I'm so hyped.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely hyped as well. All of them are just numbers and digits or whatever. But I want to put it in perspective for you, only because, like you said, that's a very valid point that you were in Betraying the Martyrs for so long that the new project numbers are kind of like you don't know what to make of them. It's difficult to like discern like, oh, like, is that good? Because you're used to a certain baseline for 10 plus years or whatever. So I'll just tell you this, and I don't mind because I think your song is fantastic. Of course, I like our own song because this is like our first song that we released that's kind of in that sphere as well, because I was pounding the table with these guys. I'm like, listen, I don't mind the riffs. I don't mind the clean singing, but we need to have a song that's me. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, I've listened to some of your guys' music actually yesterday. Great, great. You do vocals, right?
I'm vocals, not wrong in
saying, yeah, awesome.
Yeah. So well, I really appreciate that. But I'll just tell you, because like I said, we released the song on the same day. So I just want to put it in perspective for you for, you know, two projects. So your Spotify streams, like I said, 54,000. Ours is at 20,000, so it's quite a disparity there. And listen, I don't mind saying that either, because I think that your song is fantastic.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Honestly, like, yeah, I don't even know what to say. I like, you kind of caught me off guard by even asking that. Like, it's super fucking awesome that people are listening to the music. You know, it really doesn't matter. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about the numbers and all that stuff, but the reaction seems to be great. And if you say the numbers are great, then that's.
I mean, I mean, listen, I guess I just think that this style of music is, there's like a bucket of it, but it's not that widespread. You know what I mean? Like it's there, like it exists, but it's not. Like, I mean, you think of like, you know, where you're at in France, you think of like Landmarks, Novelists, you know, they're good. I love Landmark, especially this latest record is fantastic.
Awesome.
But
awesome.
It's not this sphere. You know what I mean? Like, it's not feel.
It's not. Yes, thank you. It's not. For at least in my mind, it isn't, you know?
Right.
some people might throw, I guess it really depends like how deep you go down the, down the subgenre wormhole, you know, like it kind of splits and splits. And I guess it really depends like how, you know, how you're looking at it. But yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, we'll let the nerds on the internet sort all that out. But I mean, for just the general first listen, it doesn't. I mean, they're different worlds, and I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know, from what I've seen, this type of stuff, you know, going back to like Dealer or Sworn In, or just even Alpha Wolf or Left to Suffer, like that type of sphere, I feel like there's such a visceral like first reaction to this type of stuff that I think people are craving this style of stuff, because through doing the reaction videos, and now I tell this to people and they're always surprised, but we've done over 700 reaction video, over 700. And very little of this stuff exists. I mean, very little. I mean, not a lot. I mean, there's a lot like from Australia that kind of has this sort of feel, but I'm never this floored by a sound. And I mean, I could just go on and just praise the track up and down. I mean, it's, we have a playlist that I curate for the band, and it's number one. It's on the cover. I mean, this is my track. I listen to it all the time. So,
dude, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah. So watching the reaction videos, I mean, I watched all of them as well, because that's what I'll do. If I really like a track, I'll go watch every reaction video there is. And you know, being like in the reaction community, if you will, I've sent this track to other people. I'm like, you gotta check this out. I mean, you've gotta check this out. So
thank you. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that more people check it out. But has there been, I guess, you know, one reaction in particular, outside of ours, of course, that you like really that you were like, yeah, like this is like, I really like one that like you go back and watch a few times just because you're like, yeah,
yours. I had it on the big telly. Me and my girlfriend really fucking loves watching them as well, because like doesn't get it. Yeah, no, she doesn't get it. Like, she's, the metal universe is like so far away.
That's my girlfriend. The coffee house music is what I call what she listens to.
Oh no, my girlfriend listens to great music, but the metal screamy stuff, like, no, absolutely not. But so I think she's like really interested in watching. Anyway, to see how people react to it. But she loved your reaction video, and I've watched it at least 5 times just to massage my ego a little bit. I just love your face, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've watched it back a few times, and because I don't know what I'm doing in the moment of I'm just, you know, experiencing it, and I'm just like watching myself, and I'm just like, holy shit. I just couldn't help it, man. So
thanks. I watched one yesterday. I watched a German guy reacting to it.
I actually just watched that. Yeah, and he was like,
yeah, he was like, well, warm. I don't like the vocals.
I gotta be honest with you. Like, I almost commented on that, because I was like, man, because I think that you're a fantastic vocalist. I think that you have a very awesome sound. You know, from one vocalist to another. I mean, I think you have a really great tone that I think. It worked in Betraying the Martyrs, obviously, for 10 plus years, but this style, I just think it really is just like, it's just like a, like, it's just,
thanks,
a,
man.
Yeah.
It's been really good. Like, you're a vocalist too, right? So,
yeah.
So for example, like, if somebody writes you like a metalcore track, you know, it's like, you can't just go put in like lows or highs or whatever all over it. Like, you have to adjust your vocals to make the song sound great,
right?
So there's been times where I've found myself like doing a lot of like mid-range vocals as to do the song justice and stuff, but that's not really what I was wanting to do, you know. But now, entering into this sphere of music that we've been talking about, it's like so much better for me just to be able to just do like super disgusting lows and just all the stuff that I like, man, you know.
Yeah,
it's super awesome to be able to do that again.
Yeah, well, because I was surprised, you know, when they were like, I don't know if I like the vote, because I'm used to that criticism very often. I know that I have a weird voice. I'm very aware of that, but for you, I was like, what? Like, I didn't understand that, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I guess my question though is, you know, you look at the members of 1056, mm-hmm. especially, is it the guitar player who's from Kadinja, is that correct?
Yeah, one of them, yeah.
One of them, right. So I guess my question is, how did you, I don't know if convince is the right word, but how did you get those guys who write extremely technical, kind of proggy style music to, I guess, dumb down the guitar, if you know what I mean? Because that's what people will say, is that it's like, it's just ones and zeros, you know?
Fuck yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
Basically it started, I'll just give you the whole story because it happened super quick. So like Steve from Betraying the Martyrs, he's a really good friend of Arno, the drummer of 1056. Mm-hmm. And like, although I'd seen Arno around and stuff, like I'd never really become like his mate or whatever. And so Steve had just been talking him up. Oh, this guy's great. He's so nice and this and that. And I'm like, all right, well, sounds like a really cool guy. And then one day, like I'm following Arno on Instagram and he posts a story up like, oh, I want to do a jazz band. Who wants to play jazz with me? And I texted him back. Yes. I DM'd him. I was, yeah, whatever. Drummer thing. So I DM'd him. I was like, fuck that. Let's just do a stupid heavy band. He said, all right. And then that was it. And then we just did it. And then we just started meeting up. And so I run this bar in Paris. And Quentin comes in there sometimes, the guitarist from Kadinja. He comes in. And like, I just saw him. And I was like, shit, that'll be perfect, you know? So I went for a drink with him across the road. And I just asked him, listen, you want to do it? And he's like, yeah. But for sure, like during that, our first writing session, it was just the three of us to start off with, you know, and it was super hard to get him to like chill,
Yes. Ah, dude, I know exactly what you're saying. I say that to, well, the guitar player from my band, I'm like, man, just relax, you know?
That's it. You just got to just chill. Like, but that sounds dumb. It's like, no, it doesn't. When you're writing this stuff, like you're not going to get that super fat, crazy tone, like when you're writing it, you know? So it's easy to listen to a couple of like chugs and be like, ah, it just sounds like crap. But once it's like fully produced and, you know, you just got to look at it from like a different perspective. But yes, to answer your question, it was a little bit hard to get him to dumb down. But then in comes Luca, the other guy, the other guitarist. And I've got a super funny, crazy story about that. So my first ever concert with BTM ever was in a place called Le Havre, which is in the north of France. So it's like my first ever show with the band, and it's in like a fucking gymnasium or whatever, you know, like the first album hasn't come out, you know, like no one really knows me or whatever. And like there was this kid there, and he was a super fan of the band at the time, and he was 13 years old, this tiny little kid.
That was him.
And it's fucking him, dude.
That's, and I've got awesome.
I've got photos of us together, like, you know, like group photo with the band at the end of the show, and this is like this big. He's literally like this big. You know, those Osiris shoes with the big tongs on and shit. You know, it's like kid style, like little kid style, and it's him. So like Quentin from Kadinja like just suggests that we check him out to be the other guy, and he sends us some of his stuff. And we're like, this is fucking sick. So we send him Diazepam, which sounded, it was the same, but it just didn't sound like it does now.
Right.
Send it to him, and he's got this like crazy fucking filter that he just puts everything through, and it's just like boom. Well, he just basically reproduced the whole shit, and that's how it sounds the way it sounds. So now this Luca guy, Luca Garretin, he's been writing a lot of the stuff, like a huge percentage of the stuff, and it all sounds just as dirty.
That's an awesome story. I mean, because I think, I mean, that's crazy to think. Well, one, you must have, did you feel, because I'm 28, and I think that you're in your early 30s, right?
I'm 30, yeah.
You're 30, yeah. So that must have made you feel a little bit old to know that this guy, you know, is at your first, he was like 30. You must have been like, damn, I'm that old?
Yeah, man, fuck. Honestly, he's awesome. But I feel like a child still, you know what I mean? And he's like a grown ass man now. Like he kills it. Like I don't see him like that,
right?
You know, because I don't at all see him like that, because he kills it so hard. He writes great riffs. He's got a great mentality, and it's just like, that's just a funny thing to reflect back on. But like that's not like, I don't see it like that. If you know,
I guess probably I just feel, I have a 10-year-old son, so I feel like I'm 48 instead of 28, you know, but
yeah, well, who knows, you know, in 5 years, maybe he's going to be writing fat riffs for your new band, you know.
I would love
an open mind.
Yeah, well, because I think, you know, so this stuff, like you said, before it gets produced and whatnot, I can understand somebody listening to it and being like, what is this? Because it's just like, you know, it's like MIDI music, and it's just, you know, a couple of ones and zeros without like the sound design, if you will, around it. And
it's probably
kind of hard for people to envision it. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Have you noticed that with in your time, you know, touring or, you know, playing with different guitar players, that it's difficult for them in general, at least in my opinion as well, for them to kind of really bring it down and like just make it heavy, you know?
Absolutely, dude, absolutely. And fucking like people can say, you know, like, oh, you know, writing super heavy, super simple breakdown music or whatever, it's like super easy, but it ain't. It's like not at all. You know, like writing well-written, super heavy, simple riffs that actually sound catchy, it's not an easy thing to do. And there's like very few bands that come around from time to time that are able to do it well, because there's so many that do it badly, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the first guy that I think of is Josh Travis. I mean, he might... Kills it. Yeah, and like his, just the rhythm patterns, I mean, that's really what I'm like, man, that's tough stuff. I mean, it might not be, you know, going up and down the fretboard like a maniac, but it's, you know, getting those rhythm patterns is tough. But so I kind of want to rewind a little bit, because I think it's kind of interesting that I know that you're not from France originally. You're actually from the UK. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So I moved to France solely to join BTM. Like that was the only reason. Yeah.
So, all right. Some audio, some technical issues, but we're back. You know, it's all right. That's the beauty of Zoom. You know, every now and then you have some technical stuff, but that's okay. So I'll just ask you the question again, just in case, because I don't know if the audio cut out on your end, but I guess you know, moving to France, I mean, that alone would terrify me. I mean, granted, I'm a little bit further away from France than you were. England. But I mean, so to do that, to join a metal band, you know, what kind of goes into that situation? Is it just like, you're just like, man, I just want to be in a band, and this is a great opportunity to do that?
Yeah, that was basically it. Like I was a welder. Like I was working in a factory. I basically worked in factories. Like I did like 3-4 factories. Like, I come from like an industrial town, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
I was like working a shit job, and I had a local band and stuff, like super, super heavy stuff, you know, like we were really into Whitechapel at the time and all that stuff. We got booked on a small tour in the UK with Betraying the Martyrs when they had like a singer before me for their first EP, like ages ago. And they put like diesel in their gasoline van or whatever, and blew the engine up. So they ended up, like, my mate Kieran, he like was managing a pub, and he just like, oh, well, you guys can stay in the pub. And this was the pub where I used to drink, like, you know, every day after work. Sadly enough. So we were just hanging around with those guys. Like I was just hanging around with them. We became really good mates. And Victor, the clean vocalist, hit me up on Facebook. He's like, dude, do you want to come to France? I was like, yep. Quit my job 2 days later and fucked off, man. So I was like,
So there was no hesitation on your, you're just like, let's go. Like,
that was it.
Did you know any French, like the language at all?
No, not a bit. Zero. Nothing.
So how long did it take you to kind of, I get like at least get, you know, you could talk to somebody at the cafe, you know, in French? How long did that take?
I'm going to say about a year and a half.
Wow. So what did you do before that? Did you just find somebody that could speak English, or, I mean, I probably
I just winged it, man. Winged it.
Jeez, man, that's crazy. Well,
people over there, people over here, so like they speak English. You know what I mean? It's not everyone, and there is that cliche of like French people kind of refusing to speak English, and it's not entirely false. So I mean, it was super difficult, but like all the guys in the band spoke, you know, English to me, and I got a girlfriend and she spoke English. So yeah, honestly, it was fine. I didn't know, man. I was fucking 20 years old. Like, I was just rolling with it. You know what I mean? I wasn't even thinking, you know, at that age, you don't really think about anything, do you? So.
Yeah, true, true. So like the language, did you like take a class to learn, or did you just learn it passively, just everyday life? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just passively, like a kid, like a baby would learn to talk, you know. It just kind of came. I just ask them questions every now and then or whatever. And we were sitting fucking, you know, 8 to 10 hours a night in the van with a bunch of French guys on tour or whatever. Like, it just, you know, just went in. Just happened, man. Honestly, it just happened. I don't even know what to say. It just happened.
See, that's just crazy to me, because obviously, you know, here in the States, you know, learning another language, you know, it's there. Like, I mean, I went to college or university I took French for 2 weeks and I stopped because I'm like, this is a very difficult language. I'm like, I just cannot figure this out.
That's it, man. I mean, theoretically it's super hard, you know. I'm just like, oh, I just kind of heard it and copied it kind of thing. So like the theory came afterwards. Like even today, like there's some things in the language I don't know. But like I do speak like super fluent French now. But like working the theory of the language out is a completely different story, but like knowing what to say because you've heard it in certain situations, like, you know, and then you get corrected and it just kind of happens. I don't know.
So this was always my thing with French was that, you know, you kind of had to speak with your nose a little bit. Do you do that?
Yeah, I don't know if that's so English is spoken with like the front of your mouth.
Right.
You know, like the lips and the tongue and blah, 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 all this. But French is a lot of it that happens in the back, like the R's and all that. And honestly, man, like, I don't know. I can barely speak English. I'm like super mumbly. I'm like mumbly, like no one understands me half the time. My dad's the same. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, man.
So this might, no, that's all right. So this might sound like a kind of a silly question, but using, I guess, those different mechanisms, if you will, to speak the different languages, does that help you with vocals at all, to utilize the different aspects of speaking? I mean, that's kind of interesting. I didn't think of anything like that till you just said that.
Perhaps, maybe. I mean, I guess it would if we were doing some kind of more, I don't know, like black metal-ish, or, you know, like CJ from Die Art, he does some accents and stuff, you know, like Nordic accents and stuff that you can put into death metal and stuff. Maybe.
Yeah.
Honestly, I haven't thought about it, but maybe it has done, maybe it's just kind of gone in, you know. I was thinking about doing a song in French, you know.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, no, that would be cool. No, I'm sure it's something that you never think about, but of course, you know, I'm a guy from the States, you know. To me, everything is so interesting because it's, you know, we're not used to it. You know, if we see somebody speaking French, we're like, what the hell? But
yeah.
So it's cool. I don't know, man. I think that's pretty ballsy and I guess in a way kind of brave, which you probably look at it like it's just a walk in the park, but to make that move without knowing the language and, you know, going to be in a metal band. Yeah.
At the time I was probably thinking it was a walk in the park, but when I look back at it now, it got pretty like hardcore, you know. I was working at a pub, like I got a job at an Irish pub.
Yeah.
On the second day I came to Paris, and on the second day I got a job. In a bar. I never worked in a bar before. Anyway, different story. So it, like, there was one day where I was like at home and I couldn't pay my rent and I had no money for food, and I had to like skip and like get on a train illegally to go to work because I knew that they had hot dog sausages there, and like I'd just eat them, just like turn up at work when I wasn't working just to eat hot dog sausages. You know what I mean? At the time I was like, yeah, it's probably sucked ass, but now I think looking back, it's like, Yeah, it's quite the grind, you know what I mean? Like the things that you're prepared to go through just to do something that you're really into, you know?
Yeah, man. Well, no, see, that's the kind of stuff that I really enjoy learning about people. Cause you know, we know you as, you know, the guy who sang and betraying the martyrs, and now you're in 1056, but I don't know, man, the journey, there's something about that I think is really, really interesting and cool, especially you who, I don't know, maybe I'm, talking it up more than you probably think, but I think it's really cool, man. I think that's really cool.
I really appreciate it though.
And so, I guess the other thing that I say this to people, but I think this, I'm really, because, you know, we did a reaction to 1056. So I'm looking forward to a reaction from you when I tell you this. Because I think over in the UK, you know, drinking is something that's probably a little bit more, commonplace. But yeah. I've never drank before in my life. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think anything about that, actually.
No,
I've met loads of people that, but you haven't ever had a drink.
Never.
Never.
No. See, this is what I was looking for. See, that's why you said, oh, I don't think much of it, but this is what I was looking for. Never, never a sip in my life.
Huge respect. Do you know why that is?
Well, so for me, I grew up pretty dysfunctional family. Not really right. So much alcohol, but mostly drugs. So my mother actually passed away going on 6 years ago from heroin.
Sorry, man.
So I think, you know, growing up, and I think I look back and it's like, as the times lined up, like I was old enough to kind of process what was going on between my mother and my father going to prison and drugs and whatnot, that I just stayed right away from anything. Like I don't even take Advil. Like I'm just like, nope to everything. But I think the common misconception that I get is that a lot of people think like I hate people who drink or something like that. That's not the case at all. It's just my own personal thing, just because I also notice within myself that I have addictive personality traits. Like, once I'm into something, I zero in on it. So I'm like, man, if I ever drank and enjoyed it, I guess I'm a little worried about what might happen, especially, you know, being 28 and haven't drank before. You know, I didn't get the, you know, being 15, 16 years old and kind of warming up to it, that kind of thing. So, but no, well, man, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the UK, it was more like, you know, 12, 13, yeah. You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought that I was looking forward to your reaction to that.
Yeah, big up, man. Honestly, all the power to you, you know?
Yeah.
Good. I would say that I have a healthy relationship with drinking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's part of the culture over there. And it kind of is here too. And I would say it probably is over there. So I think it's a part of every culture in some sort of way.
It is. And I just figured I'd bring that up as a quick little aside, but anyway.
Yeah. I'm a little bit shocked, but I just don't want to look shocked because I don't want people to think that I'm all about drinking.
That's definitely not what I was trying to get across there. I just know from my point of view, I just view that as more part of the culture. Like from, you know, from a younger age with all the different pubs and all that kind of, like, I just think, yeah. I just, you know, that's my own point of view, but anyway.
Oh, you would not be incorrect in making that assumption. That's definitely true. Definitely true. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first tour that you went on with Betraying the Martyrs, do you recall that pretty well?
No. Nothing to do with the drinking, just letting you know. Nothing to do with the
joke,
drinking.
But I figured it was a long time ago.
The first tour in Betraying the Martyrs, do you mean?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, mate. Yeah. We did like a fucking self-booked 1 month long tour from in the whole of Europe. We went to like Russia and shit. We drove 46 hours to get to Moscow and like the show was cancelled or something, but then we got there and then we just did it anyway, and it was like in a nightclub, so there's mad people there. It was super weird. That was a crazy tour, man. Lots of crazy stuff happened. I think like on the second or third show was in like Czech Republic or something, And I didn't really know the guys that well, you know what I mean? So,
right.
So I wake up and we're sleeping on this guy's living room floor, and I see like a kettle, and I'm trying to make myself a cup of tea because I'm English with loads of alcohol in there. And I spilled the kettle on Baptiste, the guitarist's foot, and he's sleeping. And he wakes up screaming, right? And I'm like, whoa. So I pull his sock off, and all of his skin on his foot comes off with the sock.
Oh, no.
Bro, it was so bad. It like, he literally had no skin on it, on the top of his foot. So he had to play like sitting down for the rest of the tour. That was like my first tour.
Oh,
clumsy my bastard. Goodness. Yeah.
I didn't even ask you this, but I'm just curious because what do your parents think of? That's what I'm very curious about. Do they think you're just a nutcase to want to move to France to be in a metal band? What do they think?
Well, they're comparing me to my brother, and he's a fucking mental case. So probably not that much. Yeah, my dad's like really likes heavy music.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah, so like my dad's half German, so like my grandma was German, and she had this like a German cable TV in England. So like Rammstein like came super early for me because it was like years before it came to the UK or anywhere else for that matter. So
yeah,
like my dad was super into Rammstein and yeah, like Motorhead. My mum was like a huge David Bowie and T-Rex kind of fan, you know, like they like music, and they're like motorcycle riders and stuff. Like they're pretty cool about the whole thing. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I hope you don't mind that I wanted to talk about this stuff, just because I seen some other interviews that you're in, and it's, you know, they kind of touch on some of the, you know, the more basic stuff, but I'm curious learning about you. Cause I think it's a pretty interesting, I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, I do anyway.
Dude. Ask me anything you want, man, honestly. Okay.
But, so when was it when you were in Betraying the Martyrs? Because, you know, you were there for a long time. Like, when was, like, that point where you felt like, okay, like, you're thinking maybe, you know, like, maybe you're not even thinking this, but you're thinking, like, oh, this isn't really, like, the identical sound that I'm into, but, like, man, we're starting to get some success. Like, we're trending upward now.
I guess that would be, honestly, man, it's hard to say because success kind of comes in like these little, like when I did music, there was a band from the UK called the Argent Dawn. Like you wouldn't know who they were, I can imagine.
Yeah. Or,
it's like they were a band, but they weren't like local, but they would play up and down the country. And that's, I just wanted to be like that size. That would have been totally fine with me. Like that's what I aspired for.
Right.
And then you kind of, we kind of surpassed that with BTM, and then it's like, oh shit. And then you kind of see the next level, and you know, you just kind of go up and up, but it doesn't matter where you go. Like there's always someone bigger than you, you know, there's always that next step to make. But to answer your question, I would say, when we signed with Cimmerian, like we just made an album on our own. Like we just sent it to Cimmerian. And they just signed it instantly. They were just like, yep, let's go. Wow. That was it. Yeah, yeah. And as soon as that happened, instantly afterwards, they were like, all right, you guys want to go? So our first official booked tour ever was in the States. Ever.
Really?
Yeah, with Born of Osiris, Carnifex, Veil of Maya, and Structures.
Wow. Oh, Structures. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was like us, Structures. Carnifex, Veil of Maya, and the Born of Osiris, I think.
And was that your first time ever coming to the States?
You know, I've been there on holiday. I went to Orlando twice when I was like 10.
Oh, did you?
No, I went when I was 10. Loved it. Best thing that ever happened to me. And then we went like with my family a year or two later, maybe I was 12 or 11. I was like, this is baby shit. This is kid stuff.
And I didn't like. Did you go to Disney or were you just in Orlando?
Oh, we went to Disney, really. Yeah, Disney, went to Universal Studios and all that stuff.
Well, so you were there on holiday, but then you come here on tour, and it's not necessarily Orlando and Disney World everywhere over here, as I'm sure that you found out. It's not quite that everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you could say that. But not in a bad way, though. Not in a bad way, because, you know, it's like Orlando and Disneyland. It's like the plastic, you know.
Right, right.
It's like a facade, you know what I mean? So there's two extremes to it, you know what I mean? So, yeah, but, yeah, you know, when you've been to Orlando and then you, that tour with Born of Osiris and them was in November, December. And we were like in Detroit.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? It's like freezing. Dude, like we had like a van, you know, one of those vans that you guys tour with. It's like a Ford or what, you know, that standard green van style, you know, that van. But we didn't have money for a trailer. So there were six of us on two of the benches. You know, normally you guys would like, we'd sleep on them, you know what I mean?
Right.
But we just, three of us on one bench, you know, and all the gear in the back and all like piano shit and like merch stands and stuff. It was the worst. Like I tried to sleep on the floor one night and I woke up and it was so cold outside that my hair was frozen to the inside of the door.
No, really? Like
I couldn't pull my head off because my hair had frozen to the door.
That is mental. Absurd.
Yeah, it wasn't Disneyland, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, so I guess what were some of like the biggest differences that you noticed, like in terms of, I guess, maybe, you know, because it's not like a totally foreign land. I mean, it's sort of, you know, if you consider like, you know, England or France to the States, it's not totally that you know, if you were coming from India, it's probably a lot different. But you know, if like, what were some of the things that you noticed that you were like, that's kind of strange, like that's out there, you know, from what you're used to on a day-to-day basis?
Dude, I could go on all night. Madness. Food, man. Food, fast food, everywhere. Everywhere. Like,
yeah.
Insane. Dude. Yeah, when we got there, I think we got there 3 days early, and we had like 3 days at the Born of Osiris house to do like, to practice and whatever. And I was like, I want to do all the fast food. So like the first day, Wendy's, Chipotle, you know, Carl's Jr., whatever. Second day, same shit, all the worst things ever. And I definitely shat myself on stage the first show. Definitely. Like, I can say it, I'm not in the band anymore. I'm gonna say it. And we got this fucking endorsed by Monster as well. So like,
oh no. Chipotle and Monster. That's a recipe for, especially if you're not used to eating that.
Yeah, no, that was okay. That was definitely, that's the worst. That's the first thing. Like, in it, when I'm in America, you got shit weird. Like, I don't know. You know, you guys, I'm sorry, not everyone shits weird over there probably, but I know when I'm in the States, I shit weird, and everyone else does as well, because you're at the gas stops and stuff, and you can hear everyone's making loads of noise, and everyone's shitting super weird, like we don't do that over here. No.
Oh, man, well, my cat just woke up, so you may hear him meowing and walking around. You might be scratching a ball. Hey, get out of here. He's a nutcase, this cat.
Move nowhere. Do not move.
All right.
Come here. Hey. Oh, yeah. Hey. Star of the show.
Wow, that's a pretty cat right there. What's the kitty's name?
Well, her official name is Smudge, but we just call her Kitty.
Kitty.
Yeah, but really, it's my girlfriend's cat, so, I mean, I adopted her.
Pretty cat. He does this thing where he'll sleep and sleep, and then he'll wake up, and then, you know, he thinks he can just meow and start barking orders around. He's just like, yeah. He's crazy. You know, he was a rescue cat.
And, oh, that's great.
Yeah, his name is Romeo, because he's a very affectionate cat. I mean, super affectionate cat. It's almost awesome. It's almost like a dog. It's kind of bizarre. But
it's almost annoying. It's like, listen, I love you. Get out of my face.
I mean, I wake up in the morning and that cat is about as close to my face without actually physically being in my mouth. That, you know, I mean, he's like as close as you can possibly get. And I'm like, oh man. But no, he's awesome. Cats are awesome. I mean, I know that a lot of people aren't into cats, but I think cats are awesome. But
I couldn't agree more. I love dogs too.
Yeah, no, dogs are
also
great.
Fantastic.
I just
people think you have to be one or the other. Oh, you're a cat person? No,
I'm an animal person. Yeah, but you know, in an apartment, I don't know if the same where you live, but I can't have a dog. I don't know if that's probably the same for you.
Oh yeah, I mean, we live in an apartment. We could have a dog, but
yeah,
don't think it would be fair on Kitty or right. The dog. You know,
what's going on? Come here.
Yeah, let's see it.
Yeah, there he is.
Hey, Romeo, getting some airwaves.
Yeah, there you go. See, you want to be the star of the show? No, there he goes. Okay, now he's hopping up on stuff. No, but that's he does that all the time. It's not uncommon for that to happen. That's why we do the reaction videos at Adam's house. You know, there's no cats jumping around. And
I could hear him.
Yeah,
shut up.
I have a noise gate on this microphone too, and he just obliterates it. You have food over there. You know, go mind your business.
Stop talking shit about me. I heard my name, bitch.
Exactly. So,
yeah.
Man, he's really going in. I'm sorry about that.
No, I love it. My favorite.
That's part of podcasting, man. It's just whatever happens, happens. So, well, that's good to know that, you know, you guys aren't just obliterating your stomachs going to the bathroom over there. You know, it's a little bit more straightforward.
I mean, you can find stuff if you want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a Chipotle down the street.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, PTSD, man. Not going in there anymore.
I've never had Chipotle either. So, I
it's awesome. It's awesome. Chipotle is actually one of the best options. Yeah. I actually have like a crew of friends in New Hampshire. Well, Big Kev and I got another friend over there called Chris. And they always take me to Chipotle whenever I'm over that area. You know, like they drive me out.
Oh, that's cool. That's funny that you have a crew in New Hampshire. I've never heard anybody say that before. I mean, I ask people, I'm like, what was the last time you played New Hampshire? Like, because I had Frankie from Amura on the very first podcast we did for this podcast.
I watched it yesterday. It's great.
Oh, did you? Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So I asked him. I said, "When was the last time you were in New Hampshire?" And he goes, "New Hampshire? Like he was like, hasn't been here in forever." So it's cool that you have a crew here because you know there's only like 20 people in the entire state. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, roads are pretty shit. That much.
Well, compared to Massachusetts, the state that's right below us is horrendous. Yeah. The roads there are absolutely atrocious. But yeah. So the fast food, I'm sure that's a common thing, I'm sure, because there is fast food everywhere here. Everywhere. It's pretty crazy. So it's not
insane,
like that. It's not like that even remotely where you're at in France, huh? Not a lot.
Well, in big cities, like I live in central Paris. So like there's a McDonald's literally across the road from the street, you know, like that. But yes. Like you can drive anywhere, anytime, and get like an abundance of food options. Like over there, it's just not the same over here. Like you couldn't, if you're driving down the road, like on the freeway or whatever, in Europe, like there's a lot of American bands that don't like touring Europe because we get like super sweet buses that we all share, super great catering every night, and they're out here bitching because can't get fucking Arby's or whatever at 3 a.m.
that's something to think about, because hopefully, you know, with my band, I hope that we do go overseas eventually, and that's definitely something I'm gonna have to think about. I'm gonna be like, damn, like where do I eat, you know what I mean, because I'm just so used to the shit, so to speak, you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, your arsehole is gonna thank you at the end of that 3 week month long tour. Your butthole is going to be like, dude, thank you, man.
So funny, because the town that I'm from here in New Hampshire, when I was a kid, I mean, it was like there was not a lot going on here. I mean, there was, you know, like the Ma and Pa little diner. I mean, there wasn't a lot happening here. Now it's like a shopping mall. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, there's like every fast food restaurant you can think of within like 20 feet of each other. It's crazy.
That's crazy. Yeah. One thing that also really, really got me was the fact that people over there wake up and drive to get coffee. Like, oh, I can't get my day started without coffee. But like, ready to get out the house in the car, drive and get in the coffee. Listen, if you're already out the house and in your car, like, listen, your day started, man.
Dude, sorry, you're talking about me. That's exactly.
Do you do that?
I wake up and because there's a Dunkin' Donuts, which I'm sure that you're familiar with.
Of course there is.
Yeah, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. Like, I mean, I can look out my balcony here and I can see it. And so,
Can we see the logo?
Webcam, I could. But it's attached to a gas station and a subway, so you know it's very American. And
is it one of those KFC, Subway, fucking Taco Bell, pizza hot combos that you get?
Pretty close, yeah, it's pretty close. So what I'll do is sometimes I'll either walk over because it's so close, or sometimes I drive over if I'm feeling a little, you know, a little lazy, and I'll go over there and get it and come back, have it, and then go off and do what I have to do. I don't know why. It's just a
That's
habit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny because it, like, fucking leaving the house is like the hardest part. Like, once you've done that, you're straight, you know? But
yeah, that isn't. So like, do you probably just have coffee at home or tea at home and then you leave the house, or what's your process like?
Dude, I'm not leaving the house just to get a fucking coffee. Like, that's the most, that's the most crazy thing. Like, get in the car, drive around, and then get a coffee, and then what? Come back home?
That's exactly what I do. I don't know. I don't know why. It's funny. This is why I wanted to talk to you about this stuff, because I think because I've never traveled outside of the country, so I'm very used to just what's happening in my bubble here in New Hampshire. So that's why I'm very curious, because my friend once told me a saying. He said, "The more I travel, the less I know." And I think that's a very interesting quote, because, you know, you get, I'm sure for you, especially just touring and moving, you pick up so many different cultural aspects that it's like, you know, what's the right way to live kind of thing. So I look at how I act on a daily basis, and I'm very curious, you know, from what your opinion of it is, because it's interesting.
Yeah. But I guess I could adapt. You know, if it's normal for you, then it's normal. You know what I mean? It's normal in England to go down the pub at 11 in the morning and see a bunch of bricklayers having 5 pints. You know what I mean? Like, for you, it's probably pretty weird.
Well, I mean, there's definitely probably some regulars that go to the local Applebee's, you know, not quite a pub, but, you know, an Applebee's restaurant. And they probably do the same thing. But no, I'm sure that's definitely, I'm sure 11 a.m. in England versus 11 a.m. here are two totally different worlds in terms of what's going on in a restaurant or a pub, for sure.
Ooh, well, maybe, yeah, if you're in Florida, then I guess anything could be happening.
Well, I mean, that is a whole different, I mean, I'm just waiting for the day that there's, I don't know, what do you call it, erosion, and Florida just kind of drifts off to be its own little entity. Because, I mean, that is wild. I mean, it's absolutely insane.
There's going to be like a huge ice cap that's going to fall off and melt, and Florida's just going to
float away.
Yeah, Disneyland is just going to come straight over here.
You know, it's funny you say, because that's where I told you, you know, before, that my girlfriend was going away this weekend, and then my son, he's with his mother. He's actually at Disneyland right now. So it's funny. It's funny we're talking about that.
That's awesome. Well, at least, you know, she's going to be the fun parent for the next week or two. So.
Oh,
have
exactly.
Fun dealing with that, yeah.
Yeah, but I just thought it was cool timing. I'm like, man, I'm like, okay, all right, I'll do this podcast with Aaron on Friday, because it's going to be just me. I mean, I can do whatever I want. I can walk around naked if I want. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. My girl just left for Kenya. She went to Kenya for 4 months to work.
4 months?
4 months, yeah. It was mental. I was supposed to go over there. As soon as she left, bought a ticket to go over there, And then 2 days before my flight leaves, France closes all its borders. So,
like, oh, geez.
Yeah. So I didn't get to see it for 4 months, which was shit. But I got to, like, take a dump with the door open. So,
yeah, there's nothing better than that. You know, I don't know why, but there's something about it that makes it just, I don't know, it's just a better experience. I don't know.
Totally agree, man. Totally agree, man. Oh, yeah.
Well, it's nice to know that, you know, guys' habits, regardless of where we're from, are all pretty similar in that regard. I mean, that's really what it all – well, that's really what matters.
Well, if you want to shit with the door open, you can just go to any gas station in America and there's, like
– there's no door to begin with on most of them, so.
There's, like, gaps, like, this big at the bottom. Like, sometimes your face is looking over the door to see your eyes, your straining eyes. And then, like, the lock is like a Cheeto, you know, what is Cheeto like?
Well, especially because I remember because, you know, obviously it was a long time ago, but I remember at the show that we opened for you guys, I walked up and I talked to you and you're a big guy. So, I mean, it's probably, you know, a little bit different. I mean, I'm 5'10", so I'm not small, but I'm pretty average.
No.
But you're what, 6'3", 6'2"?
6'2", yeah.
6'2", yeah, yeah, you're a big, I remember you were, we said it in the reaction video, but you were like hanging over the stage because of the ceiling and you were like grabbing on.
I was wondering what venue you were talking about, but now that I know which one it was, yeah, I was definitely like asbestos, you know, like,
yeah, no, yeah, yeah. For sure. So to kind of, I guess, continue on. So with Betraying the Martyrs, you know, obviously, I think I heard in an interview you said that you kind of, you know, kind of to yourself, you're kind of like, yeah, I think I'm thinking about kind of moving on. Or was it a side project initially? Like, that was what, a year and a half, 2 years ago at this point? Or how long ago was that?
What was it? Was I talking about starting something?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So like maybe like as a side project, or was it as just, you know, doing a whole new thing? Like when was like those gears started really turning? Like, do you remember?
A while ago, man. Like I've been thinking to myself recently, like, oh, you know, should I have done this sooner or, you know, whatever. But I don't know. Yeah. I was thinking about, I think I've tried to do a couple of things, but, you know, That chemistry where everything just clicks very rarely happens, you know, when there's six guys in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's been a failed attempt or two, not really sure, or maybe I've flaked out of it or whatever. But yeah, the gears started turning a while ago. Like I said in my statement, I mean, it's definitely been over a year.
Yeah.
I think when I was really thinking about it, it was in 2019, I think.
Wow. Like,
from the start of 2019. It, like, that was a hard year for us, man. Like, we did 2 US tours. And in the middle, like, on our time off, we did a whole Asian tour. Like, you know, like Thailand, fucking China, Japan, Singapore. Like, we did everything, and there's so little time off. And then we came back to the States and our fucking van like burst into flames and like we lost all our stuff.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was rough. And it was during that time, just after the incident, we were like in a hotel waiting for our flights to go back home. And that was when I was like, listen, guys, you know, like, I think I'm out, you know.
And how
that was that was when the first just the conversation went down, you know, and then like a year or so went by after that.
And did they were they like cool, man, or were they kind of like, well, like, what's going on? Like, did they like, you know, maybe try to reconcile, or were they just kind of like, yeah, we've kind of felt this kind of lurking in the background? How did that go?
I think it went. I think it came, I said it at a bad time because even I, like, you know, the day before, like, our fucking van had just, like, exploded and all our shit got lost. And, like, we had to quit the tour and come home. We were all, like, bummed out. So I think that maybe they thought, you know, this is a huge part of it. Maybe let's not like take it with a grain of salt, you know?
So a big thing happens. Yeah. Okay. That makes
sense. Yeah, for sure. And for me too, like I didn't even know. I was just like so bummed out at that point. You know, I said that and like there was probably a part of me that was probably just saying that because I was so bummed out. You know what I mean? But that was when it was like really like, all right, like I just saw that everyone was bummed out and we just had like these 3 or 4 days in the hotel to like talk about stuff before we came back home.
Mm.
And I thought it was a good time, but maybe I was like reeling off what had just happened, you know. Don't really know. And that's why it took so long after that to actually like announce to the guys, all right, this is, you know, no, I'm leaving, you know, because I think that was like a year, like it was over a year after that after I first told him. It was like a year and a half later that I actually officially quit the band, you know. But all that to say that, yeah, the gears were turning like a long time ago. But yeah, the gears weren't necessarily turning to leave Betraying the Martyrs. That wasn't like the main thing. It was like I wanted to do something else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so... Yeah, no, I mean, I could definitely see, you know, it's like, you know, obviously the van bursts into flames and you're just like, I'm done with this shit. And I can see how that might just be like a, you know, they might interpret that as just being frustration and whatnot. No, for sure. I mean, that would bum anybody out. I mean, I actually remember when that happened and
we were bummed out. We were bummed out.
Yeah.
It was worse because we got a sound guy, a guy called Chris, who does front of house for After the Burial.
Yeah.
He came out and did sound and he brought out his soundboard, you know. I'm not sure what model it was, but you know, like
big sound.
High end. Yeah, just like straight up fucking mixing desk, you know, like thousands and thousands. He's like just got it too. Boom, gone in the fire. He was bummed out. So yeah, the vibes were just pretty shit. So but then obviously the vibes came up again and everyone reached into their pockets and like helped us out and we did like a GoFundMe and you know, like we were able to just literally straight up buy everything back out, as well as like the endorsements and all of the sponsors who's helped us out. So yeah, that was just like that. I think that kind of gave me, I was just like, all right, well, you know, I'm not wasting my time. This is awesome. You know, I've got great fans. This is amazing. So just kind of stuck with it.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess when I think about this, I also think about, you know, you just taking that, you know, calculated, you know, sort of, you know, risk, I guess, to move from England to France. And I also think about, you know, I kind of think of that synonymously with you after 10 plus years of just, you know, ending it, I guess. I view that as just very, I guess it sounds kind of cheesy, right? But like kind of brave. I mean, it really is, because it's like, you could have just kind of been like, all right, you know what? Like, this isn't really like my heart isn't fully 100% into this, but you know what? We got 100,000 plus people on Spotify. We have a pretty stable base of fans. Like, I can depend on tour. But, you know, I guess I don't want to say complacent, but like you could have just rolled with that and hey, that's it. But you didn't.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, man. That was definitely a thing, like going back to this like sphere of music that we play, you know, this sphere of music that we were talking about earlier,
right?
What we're playing now with 1056, like that was definitely a very conscious decision. Like I was very aware that, all right, if I'm going to play this kind of music, like we're not going to be touring and playing in huge ass like stages and shit all the time, you know what I mean? From time to time. I mean, not saying that we did with BTM, but we play some pretty fucking big stages, you know?
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I just thought, listen, man, like 30 years old now. It's like, do I really care? Like nothing can take back those experiences that I've already had. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I don't want to be like constantly running after the next big stage or the next big tour. Like it means anything. Like I just realized that I just want to play shit that I'm just like really into, like big time, you know. That was like it, even if that means sacrificing like, you know, great tours and like solid stable like fans and career and all that stuff, you know, even though I appreciate it all,
right,
after 10 years, like, I feel like I've given all I could give for that. And I was thinking about quitting music. And I think that's why I kind of stuck around for a bit longer, because I was like thinking, I'd convinced myself that if I stopped playing In Between the Martyrs and I stopped playing music, and it took me a while to think that actually, no, like, you know, that's not synonymous with that decision. Like, I can still play music. I can just do something else.
Yeah.
It just seemed like so much effort. And then, but when you're into it so much, like I'm into 1056, it's just easy. It just happens. You know, you just do it because you want it.
No, for sure. And I guess I was thinking while you were talking, I was thinking of how to ask this, because I definitely don't mean it in a negative way at all. But did part of you think with Betraying the Martyrs, you know, you're there for 10 years, 10 plus years. Did you kind of think like, and I know that they're continuing on, so I definitely don't want to sound like an ass when I say this, so excuse me in advance. But did you kind of feel like, I guess in a way that it kind of peaked, you know what I mean? Like, without, I'm not trying to say that without trying to be like an ass, but like, you know, you're there for that long and you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Okay. I'm just going to speak from my personal experience. Let's just say that I thought that for me, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
I would say that yes.
Yeah.
But that's not in any way to say that the band is peaked.
So you're, you know, yeah. So right. Like your personal run with the band had peaked and you were like, what?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess sure. I was thinking of how to ask that, because I know that there are some bands that in Betraying the Martyrs, but, and I think they're a good band. I mean, I really do. Like, I think right. that the music is very, very solid, but for not even for any fault of their own, but there are just some of those bands that you listen to and you're like, man, this is good. Like, how come it didn't really like break through that glass ceiling, you know what I mean? And like I think of a for band sure. like maybe you know of this band, but Texas in July,
yeah,
when they were yeah. around, you know, they never quite crashed through that barrier, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. some bands just don't. So I guess that kind of also ties into my next thing with you being in France. How hard is it for you, from your point of view, for bands to kind of break into like you know, like that next level? Cause the Landmarks recently just kind of did it with their last record. Cause they've been around for yeah. a long, long time writing stellar music. And, you know, it took them a little bit to kind of get that Landmarks name out there. So from your vantage point, is that difficult?
Well, it kind of joins the last question that you yeah. say, because with Betraying the Martyrs, we were able to break out very early on with the first album. You know, we when we signed with Sumerian Records, you know, like I would, it's, oh man, it's hard to answer these questions, but
yeah,
I would say from my personal experience, the peak of the hype, the initial hype of bursting out came with the first album in, you know, like, let's say from 2011 to 2013, you know, we did an All Stars that year. We toured with Slipknot on the Mayhem Festival. Like, you know, there was a lot of like, it was like boom, you know what I mean? And when you peak that early, and when yeah. you have that, when you break that glass ceiling so early on, then it's definitely hard to kind of surpass that.
Right.
Especially in the US scene, like I would say that whilst BTM was peaking in the States, we wasn't necessarily peaking back in Europe. And then like the peak uh-huh. in Europe came, you know, not too long ago. And like, you know, if you see like that Hellfest live video, you know, like
right.
2017, like 5 years later on from that, we're playing in front of like 35,000-40,000 people. You know, it's like you have peaks in different areas around the world. But as far as the States is concerned, yeah. We definitely peaked around that time, I'd say early on, first, second record time.
Yeah. And I guess I also just want to reiterate, just because I try not to come off as like, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying like, oh, Betraying the Martyrs. I mean, it's all downhill from here. That's not.
I totally sympathize with the way that you feel asking that question, because I feel the same way answering it.
Yeah.
Because what you also have to understand, everyone has to understand, is that like, betraying the markets. Big friends of mine, and they have all of my support. Of course. I know that they're working on something great. I've met the new singer. He kills it. I've heard the new stuff with him. Very, very high level vocalist going in there. So, let's just change the subject. That was my old band, bro.
I know. All right. So now I guess, you know, going into 1056, you know, this is the type of sound that you've been wanting to do, that this is the sound that you really enjoy doing. And what's it been like to kind of go from doing that other kind of stuff for 10 years and then you're kind of starting something fresh? It's like changing careers, sort of, you know what I mean? It's like almost like you were a graphic designer at Hollister and now you're going freelance, you know. It's kind of, in a way, it's like that. So like, what is that? I mean, to me, that would scare the shit out of me, quite frankly. But you seem like the type of guy who is just like, you know what? Let's just go.
I mean, let's just be honest. Like, in the kind of music that we play, there's not a whole lot of music money. Sorry, there's not a lot of money to be made anyway. You know what I mean? So sure. It's not like you're giving up like this fruitful career and you're like, you're going to be in the shit. It's like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, I've got my own adult stuff going on back home, which keeps me financially secured and all that stuff. So as far as that's concerned, no. But it's been really exciting. It's, again, like, not wanting to speak badly about my time with BTM, but when I came into BTM, like, it was already a band that was formed, you know what I mean? Like, they already had all the other members and I was like the new guy, and they spoke French with each other, they wrote all the music together, and you know, like, it just kind of happened. Like, I was just kind of on the side because I didn't speak the language, and you know, there's so many things that I didn't take part of early on just because of a language barrier or just being the new guy, and that included you know, the writing aspect and stuff. So as far as that, the writing, the music and all that stuff, like, I kind of took a back seat in that respect, you know what I mean?
Right.
And now I've been able to start my own thing with a bunch of guys where everyone respects each individual's musical talents as much as the next guys. It's been really good to even the playing field and everyone, just to be able to like write my music. And it's like, you know, it's hard to explain, but it's good to be able to do things the way that I want to do it and have a bunch of the other guys that are on exactly the same page, you know?
I think I get what you, so 1056, it's your baby. I mean, it's
my baby, but it's also the other guys in the band's babies too.
Sure.
But yeah, let's say it's my baby because, yeah, it's something I've been imagining.
It's and, from, you know, kind of, yeah, it's from scratch. Yeah. It's like this. You know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, I totally understand that. Like, for my band, this is my very first band too, but this was from scratch as well. I mean, it was just like, so there's something special about that. Whereas, you know, when you join another band, like, it's still going to be cool, but it's not like,
it's not your baby.
You know, exactly.
It's not my baby. Like, it's, yeah, the base image of everything, you know,
it's your steps.
Everything is. That's it. It's the stepson, dude. Yeah,
exactly. But I mean, listen, man, like, I know that I can speak for myself. I'm stoked for what you guys have coming next. I mean, if Diazepam is any indication of the type of sound, because, and I know that, like, some people be like, oh, fucking, it all sounds the same, but like, I have a feeling that that's not gonna be the case with you guys.
No. Yeah. Definitely not. For sure. I mean, you seem like a really nice guy. So off the record, let's say I could just send you the next song when we get up, if you like. But second song is a lot different from Diazepam. And then the song after that is way different to both of them.
Cool.
But it's still like, you know what I mean? It's still like, yeah, gross, big dirty slap in the face, but in so many different ways. So yeah, definitely excited for people to see like how much more dynamic the sound can get, you know?
Yeah. And so this is a full record or is it an EP record?
Just have to find out, won't you?
Oh, geez. You're gonna do that to me, Aaron? I can't get the scoop.
Did I just cool guy you? Is that it?
You did. You just like, you have to wait and see, man. I can't tell
you. Right, dude, fucking who knows, bro? Wait and find out.
Well, I can appreciate that. But I guess this question's also looming in the back of my head because you've been on the road for a long, long time. In 1056, is this something that you want to take on the road as well?
Yeah, totally.
And all the other guys are in other bands. How does that work, you think? How do you think that's going to work?
Guess you're going to have to find out. I'm joking. Definitely want to take it on the road. People have been throwing like the word project out, you know, project. But like, it's definitely a solid band. Like everyone's like 100% into it.
Right.
Definitely want to take it on the road. Maybe not to the extent that Betraying the Martyrs toured, because we toured the fuck out of everything like crazy. Maybe just keep it down to, just want to keep it kind of exclusive and, you know, something. And we're getting older, man. Like my back hurts all the time. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and there's not going to be any nice tour buses or anything, right? You know, it's like a brand new band. So yeah. But we're definitely going to play shows, and like there's been offers coming through already. Like
already? So, wow.
Yeah. After one song, it's fucking crazy, eh? So So that's definitely, you know, we're talking with booking agents and stuff already. So yeah, it's definitely part of the plan. And the plan has been something that's been going on for like a year now. You know, and that's involving everyone. So yeah, it's definitely, yeah.
You'll have to just do Novelists, Kadinja, and Uneven Structures and 1056 tours for the rest of your life. It'll be easy.
That's it.
That's it.
Betraying the Martyrs headlining. right? Or Novelists, who knows now? But that'd be sweet. That's definitely something that I'd like to do as well.
I mean, it'll be easy. I mean, all they have to do is just show up, and I mean, you get the one set, but then everybody else plays a couple sets. But that's all right. You know, they just play guitar. I mean, you know, they don't have a voice. You know, they can just.
I'll end up being in a van on my own.
Exactly. You'll just be sitting there taking a nap. You'll be like, you guys done yet? You know,
I'll have the, yeah. They'll have the different separate band vans, and I'll be the only guy who's not in another band. I'll just have my own band. Balling out.
Yeah. You'll be the first band, first set. You just get in the, you just sit there. You're just like, all right, guys, I'll see you in a little while. You have fun the rest of the night.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, we turned down a tour just last week just for reason, dude. Anyway, it's like we just put one song out. I mean, we can't even play shows. Like, we're just gonna play this same song like over and over again. Well, it's like it's a 2-minute 30 song. We'll have to play it like fucking 20 times like everything. Jesus. Yeah. But yeah, anyway, to answer your question, definitely coming. Definitely going to play live, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, I know I've taken up a lot of your time, and I can see in the nice little window you got going back there, I've seen the sun start to gradually go down because, you know, you're...
Dude, I've had a long day. I went to a brewery. Brewery?
That's a tough word. Brewery.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Brewery. Yeah, isn't it? Because I'm mumbly, you know?
Yeah, it does. Sounds like you're having brewery. A stroke mid-word. It's like brewery.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to a brewery today and like got like a tour of a brewery, trying to get like a new beer in the bar and stuff. So just been drinking beer all day. And I told my girlfriend, all right, get out of the house, got a podcast to do.
Yeah.
I'm chilling.
I know.
After you get a bit of... Get involved in a little bit of this.
Oh, I see. What's the game of choice on that? What's the one that you're like, hell yeah, that's the one?
Game of choice. I'm going to say God of War, because I started God of War on the... I had the base PS4. No, PS4 Slim, whatever, same shit.
Right, right.
And I tried it on there. And I don't know, I just didn't get into it, you know? And then I got like the LG C10 and the PS5, and it's really stepped my game up. And when they put the patch out for God of War, like, blew my fucking mind, man.
Yeah. Dude,
graphically, it's such a good fucking game. So good.
I'm surprised you got your hands on one of those. I mean, they're pretty hot commodity right now. I mean, they're pretty tough to get still, I think.
Impossible. Dude, you know what? It's my girlfriend. She was in Kenya. She hit me up. She's like, hey, Aaron, like, I've got a guy who knows a guy who's got two. Like, you want to buy it off him? And I was like, yep, and just did it that way. But I ordered one. I pre-ordered one, I want to say in January, and I still haven't got that one. So I'm just like, got this one, you know? I'm going to have to, well, this is the, I got the digital version, so I'm still waiting for the standard version to come through. I'm just going to,
interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this one for like $800 to a knobhead on the internet. You know, someone will buy it.
You could sign it too, and then you could put underneath it, you could put XBTM. You could put that. You'll sell for some hot money.
Yeah, they'll be like, I don't know, that band peaked. So said True Shot.
Oh, no.
True Shot said.
Oh, God damn it.
Ruined the whole stint. You're going to have to edit the whole thing out.
I know, Jesus. But I really appreciate all your time today. And, you know, I think that I speak for probably a lot of people, at least, what is it again? At least 21,879 other people that, we're excited for what's, next to come with 1056, man. I know I am, at least.
Oh yeah. Well, we're super excited to put the stuff out, man. I mean, it's all ready to go, all done, videos all done and shit. Just waiting for the green light and right moment, and we just want to kind of roll it out.
Those responsibly. Goddamn, those record labels holding you back, bastards.
Bastards. They're great. They're actually awesome. They're really great. So, super excited. And hope that people are going to like it. And dude, just like you, thank you for your time, and thank you to everyone who's like given us their attention so far. It's super sweet, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I know that you've kind of you've cool guyed me a couple times, but I want you to give out the standard cool guy message to the rest of the people listening. Like, just, you know, just that little, like, listen, you don't know what's coming, but when it does, you'll know. Or something, you know, just something like that. Yeah, we need something like that.
No, it's after like one of those new bands that comes out and then be like, yo, artwork coming soon, dude. It's like, nobody cares. No one heard your music yet. Yo, artwork drops 2 months.
Yeah, there you go. I'll get out of the frame. I was gonna get out of the frame and give the
no. Yours. Oh, do you really want me to do it?
Yeah, no, the floor is yours. Yeah, there you go. I'm gonna get out of the frame. There you go.
Oh, are you actually at what am I supposed to be doing?
You're gonna give a standard cool guy and a new band message. You know, you're gonna like.
Oh, but are you gonna keep the part in the video where you asked me to do it, or am I just gonna? Is there gonna be context in there? And what?
This is all gonna be in here. Yeah, people are gonna see the whole thing unfold. Right.
Yeah. Wait, I don't want to take the piss out of anyone. I don't know, man. I don't think I can do it. Yo,
no worries. I'll do it for you. Ready?
Please do it. Do it. Right,
hold on. All right, let me get into the cool guy mode here. Hold on. All right. Listen, 1056. Listen, you thought diazepam was all we had? The best is yet to come. It's the heaviest stuff we've ever done. You don't even know what you're about to experience. But keep a tab on our socials, because you'll be seeing something dropping very soon.
Mm. That was good, man.
Is that all right? Was that all right? Was that all good?
I was vibing out.
Yeah, you're getting into it. You're like, yeah, the hype is there.
You've done it. We've done that before. Hey, listen, we finally found our sound. Like, we're really matured. Like, when we started out, we didn't know what we was doing. But like now, really got it.
Yeah. I don't know how to do it. No, it's the same stuff for the last
few years.
but
yo, this is Aaron from 1056.
I like that.
You thought diazepam was all we got?
I like the little like the little gang signs thrown in there. I like that.
Oh yeah. 10. I don't want people to think of breakfast date. We're not gonna do it.
Well, all right, man. Listen, I'll say bye to you off the air in a more formal way. But again, man, thank you so much for doing this. And yeah, man, this was awesome. I really
absolutely. Thank you to everyone for watching. If there's anyone
watching. Probably 4 or 5 people. I mean, let's just be honest.
Let's go. Thanks, Mom. Thanks, Grandma.
Thank you so much for watching and or listening to this episode of the True Shot Guest Spot Podcast. If you'd like to support us further, here are some ways you can do so. If you're on YouTube, like the video, subscribe, turn on the notification bell, all that good stuff. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, preferably 5 stars, by the way. And if you're on Spotify, follow the playlist and also share it to your story. Tag me, tag True Shot, tag 1056, tag Aaron. And also, if you would like to go even further, you can head over to our Twitch, twitch.tv/TrueShotOfficial. Follow us over there. And if you'd like to go even further, go beyond that, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/TrueShotOfficial. Tiers start as low as $1, and you can support us there directly. Thank you so much, and until the next episode, peace.